Those that are staying with me can turn to the 7th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 7. Why don't we read all of chapter 7? Let's stand and the word. If you have a King James Bible, read along with us. If you don't, well, just listen. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on. Chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth.
For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth.
And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him.
And Noah was 600 years old.
And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah.
And it came to pass after 7 days.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened.
And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark.
They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort.
And they went in unto Noah in the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth.
And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters.
And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark.
And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you had mercy upon us. We thank you, Lord, that we know Christ. And today we preach Christ. And Lord, we receive Christ, and Christ paid our debt, and therefore we can come into your mercy, into your loving kindness. You know the heart of each of us here today. This Lord, bless each heart. Draw each one of us close to you. And Lord, bring honor and glory to your name from us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. My Bible does not want to stay open there. Such is life. You know, I want to really talk to you about two chapters. We just read one. But chapter 7 and 8 are about the flood. Now, this is one of the things that most of the world wants to deny. And you can read all the book of the creationists, not the creationists, of the evolutionists and the others that are bad-mouthing the Bible. And they say there's no proof of the flood anywhere. Well, I live out here in north of Burney, about 13, 14 miles north of the town of Burney. And all over my land are fossils. You know, I've been up high in the mountains, Pikes Peak, wherever, there are fossils. You know, every place shows it was underwater. It was underwater. Now, I was reading this last week about some archaeological discoveries over in, like where Ur of the Chaldees would have been, and where Babylon and all of these, by the Euphrates River. And they dig down and they can find these artifacts of a city being built there and living in it. And then they get into a patch of sand and silt, 5 to 10 feet deep. And there's nothing in it. It was laid down with the flood. Now, whether you'd like to believe there's a flood, you might want to wish that the Grand Canyon took millions of years to form. All it had to do was the water running off when God had it going. There was enough water there to do it in a few days. It's like the first chapters of Genesis where God created man. God created woman. If you'd had a biologist there or a doctor there, you'd say, how old is that man? Well, he's 25 or 30 years old. Perfect health. Big size. Good, strong. No, he's just a day old. God didn't create eggs. He created chickens who have eggs. He created everything with the seed in itself, including mankind. And here he's preserving that seed, as you read in these two chapters here. I personally believe that the flood was over the whole earth and it covered all the mountains. Another thing, in what we were reading just here, it talked about it began to rain. Now, it had not rained upon the earth until this time. A mist came up from the ground, sort of like a terrarium. Now, I don't know what was in, how much water was in the skies, in the heavens. But it says the heavens came down, poured it out. And then it says the waters of the great deep were broken up. How much water is underneath this ground? There's a lot. Go anywhere you want to and drill a well, you pretty well find water. And it just proves that we keep moving out and taking up good farmland, whatever, you know, ranch land. We're building our houses and whatever, building our cities. This all used to be good farmland, right where you're at. Now, there's water down there. I don't know how much water is inside the earth, but there's an awful lot of water down inside the earth. So what we're looking at is rain for 40 days. The last big flood we had at my house, it rained at my house 7 days. 44 inches. Verlene and I were locked into the house for 7 days. We had a 4-mile stretch of road that we could go on. If you had to get me, you had to come with a helicopter. And I wasn't paying for no helicopter. I lived off my canned foods. 7 days. I had 10 beautiful pecan trees already good, solid, settled. It killed them all. I had the biggest oak tree I've ever seen down in my creek. Killed it. It just laid over. In fact, it was almost as wide as most of them are tall. Just really just stretched out with all that weight. And that water took them. Just killed them easily. That was 1 week's water. Just 1 week. And it was only 44 inches in 7 days. What about if God decides to let it really rain? Like he did right here. He decides to let it really rain, and then he says, I'm going to add something to it. I'm going to let the heavens break up. And I believe that there was a lot of moisture in the air at that time before the rains came. And that moisture came down in that rain, too. And then the great deep being broken up. How about they talk about shifting planet? Shifting tectonic plates. What if he just shifted one that broke up everything and just shoved it out? What if he dropped the mountains down and then put them back up? God can do anything he wants to do. And he doesn't have to do it the way you think. He does not. In fact, God takes pleasure in doing it the way you cannot imagine it. Isn't that right? I tell you what, I've heard a lot of smart aleks that tell me what they're going to tell God when they meet him, if they ever meet him. They're not going to tell him anything. They're going to be struck dumb. I've been struck dumb in the face of some human beings, much less God. Now, chapter 7 and 8 were about the flood. And there's a real beautiful thing in the very first part of that chapter, very first verse. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God gave him an invitation. Now, Noah's been working on this ark, I think, for 120 years. I believe he's been preaching for 120 years. I believe they're without excuse. Because I believe Noah was preaching as he was working and building that ark for 120 years. He's not saying man's lifespan will be 120 years. He's saying man's opportunity to live on this earth will be 120 years, and I'm cutting it off. That's what that 120 years is. I don't know how long it took to build that ark. It's a big thing. You talk about a mess. They lived in it over a year. You ever get cabin fever? That time whenever it rained so much up there and we were just cut off by the Guadalupe River on both sides and all the roads, I wasn't going to try to go through the fields and cut down fences. Might not have made it out anyway. But on the seventh day, it was Sunday, and I was going to go to church. I was coming here. So I have my wife, we're loaded up, we're in the car, and we're down, and here's the barricades right across the road. And the sheriff of the county was right on the other side sitting in his car. And I looked at him, and I looked at that water, and I knew I could get across that water. I knew that road. And I just drove through it. And it made him mad. Didn't you see me over there? I said, yes, sir, I sure did. But I've been in my house 7 days. I'm going out. Now, if you want to give me a ticket for getting out, you're just welcome to give me a ticket. But I'm not going back over there till the water goes down a little bit. He didn't give me a ticket. He had a little mercy on somebody because you'd been 7 days. There was a 4-mile stretch of road. Oh, we all the neighbors got to meet each other. You know, you out there in the country, we don't hardly see each other, you know. You don't meet them. I can't see them from the road. They can't see my house. And we don't know too well anybody around us. But that 7 days, we were all out driving what little we could drive. And there were some of them sitting in the middle of the road fishing. Now, I'm afraid this was a little bigger flood. But notice, who invited him in? The Lord. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Hey, I'm so thankful I'm saved, and I'm saved because God did something about it. I'm not saved because I did something about it. I'm not saved because I walked well and I sought God really with all my heart. You may have a testimony like that. I don't have that kind of testimony. I was running the other direction. I didn't want God to change my life. I liked what I was doing. But you know what? When God changed me, He changed everything about me. And all of a sudden, and my wife told me many a time in the last 59 years, I didn't marry a preacher. She didn't like answering the phone all the time. She didn't like living in a glass house. Some things she did not like about being a preacher's wife. I didn't marry a preacher. No, but God gave you one. And so she bucked up and did what she ought to do, and man, she became a great soldier of the cross. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. He gave the invitation. Now here's an invitation to salvation. Isn't that what it is? It's an invitation to salvation. This ark, I'll probably say it 2 or 3 times this morning, my time goes. This ark is a picture of Christ. Everybody in the ark is saved. Lives. Everybody outside the ark dies. What about Jesus? Well, you say, well, I think everybody that's sincere and sweet and religious. No, no, no. In Christ you live. Outside of Christ you die. In Christ you're accepted by God. Outside of Christ, destruction. Absolutely. Well, it's the same thing with this ark right here. Here's a flood. Now, again, we've said it before and we'll be saying it again. All through the Bible, it's a book of judgment. God is judging this world. God's judging you. And God's judging the nations. And let me tell you something. God's going to be right. And when the end comes out, I want you to know, oh, you better be on God's side. You better have taking his invitation to come into the ark or to come into Christ, because all outside, you know, New Testament says Christ in you, the hope of glory. What hope do you have of glory? Christ in you. You're in the ark. You're in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got a big invitation from God right at the start of this thing here. He tells Noah, come on in. Let me just say, have you heard God's invitation to salvation? Come on in. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous, unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him. God's in the business of inviting. What am I doing as a preacher week after week, year after year? I'm inviting people to get saved. And some people, I've got maybe accused a little too much evangelism. Well, I don't know you. I know the Lord. I know the Word. So what am I trying to do? I'm giving you an opportunity. Almost every time I preach or teach, I give an opportunity for you to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Why? I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. I sprinkled as a Methodist and immersed as a Baptist. And then I got saved. Being saved is a whole lot better. In Christ. Well, what we have here is a great invitation, and God is still giving invitations. And somehow, around the world today, there are going to be a lot of invitations. And that invitation comes because God has a desire to save lost souls. He has a desire to take you out of the path of destruction. He has a desire to bring you through on the other side of it all and live with you in loving kindness forever. Man, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For yet 7 days. All right. The rain. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. Verses 4 and 5. And Noah was 600 years old. The flood's coming. And it's going to start with rain. Now, we in our flooded area, we make fun of, what's this? A few drops fall out of the sky. We say, what? Why? Because we need a whole lot of rain and we're not getting it. And so we're sort of making fun of the weather and of different things like that. You know, why doesn't it rain? Why don't we get a good gully washer and a frog strangler? The other day I washed my car. It was dirty. It was filthy. So I put it through the drive-thru. Boy, it looked like $1 million. I drove it about 40 minutes, and a little shower came up. Plunkety plunk, 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 plunk. Just put spots all over it. I guess I didn't. If I'd have washed it twice, you reckon it got a better rain? I'm not sure. Okay. Now, they ate into the ark, and the waters come down upon the earth and begin to rise. The raining is continuous. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. I have. And you can really get tired. It's like being the cabin fever that some people talk about if they're in real cold, cold weather and they've just got this little spot. I've seen that they're building smaller houses. Have you noticed any of these smaller houses? It's like taking these containers and making the whole house in one container. Now, I know there are others that put four or five containers together, but I'm talking about making a house in one container. Now, you going to live in that with your wife? You going to live in that with your husband? Let me tell you, there's going to be some cabin fever. You're going to go nuts sometimes, right? You need to be able to get away from each other. You know, you close a door somewhere. When I'd get up early in the morning, Verlene would be reading, doing her things, you know. And of course, she raised kids for 30 years at home. And I'm not telling you that's not work. There's a lot of work to that. It really is. But I would get up and I'd start to talk to her and she says, "You're getting into my time. This is my time. The only time I've gotten tired, all the rest of the day I'm listening to kids." Okay, you hurt my feelings. These little spots, these little small things, you just need a little bit of room to get away. And I can't imagine being, this is a big ark, but I can't imagine with all those animals for a year. Good night. I don't even have a dog in my house. Now, you may feel bad about that, but my dog stays outside. I don't care if it's freezing. He stays outside. They've done it for hundreds and thousands of years. One of my girls was going to get a dog from one of the shelters. She had to agree to put it in her house. He said, "No, it'll stay outside. Well, I won't give it to you." Can you imagine? I can't imagine. Dogs are meant for that. That dumb dog I've got, he's got two sets of hair. He really does. He's got his outside hair and then he's got his inside fur right into it. He's well equipped. He never looks like he has a problem. But at any rate. Now, another thing that we talked about, how these animals came in here. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I've got a very shy heifer right now. She got within about 30 feet of me yesterday. And I had food. But she wouldn't come any closer. She just wants to be on her own and whatever, you know. I've had them that come up and eat right out of my hand. But this one's just a little bit shy. Some of these animals that are coming in here, they're wild. I mean, there's tigers and there's lions and there's, I don't know what all, every kind there is. And they're just marching right up to that ark. Noah didn't have to go out and round them up, did he? He didn't have his big cattle trailer sitting out there and get them through the fences and push them up into there. No. They just walked right on in because God told them, "I want you to walk right in. Get up and get in there." And they got in. That would have been a job in itself, but it didn't have to be his job because the Lord called them in two by two, a male and his female. Here again is another thing against polygamy as I see it. God made one man for one woman in a marriage. One man for one woman. He didn't make Adam and 1,000 Eves. He didn't do that. And when we come here to the flood, what happens? One male and one female, a pair. Even if you have seven pairs, you got seven boys and seven girls. And in the people that he put in there, sorry, my Mormon friends, but he didn't have to have a bunch of wives. Oh, yes, you could produce a lot more children that way. I understand. But it's not the way God did it. And it's not the way he did it in the ark. Here he is. He wants to preserve seed. You got four men and four wives, and that's all. Reckon maybe you better stick with yours. Better make it work. If you don't have enough money, live on less. It can be done. Now look what they did. They lived in a barge with all that stinking manure for a year. I believe that's a test. Now then, after it starts to rain, and he's got all the animals in the ark, and the Bible says the Lord shut him in. You know, that's another thing that's like Christ. The Lord shuts you in. You come to Christ, you get saved, you're in Christ, he shuts you in. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a beautiful thing. I'm thankful I'm sealed until God decides to open the door. Okay, look at verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month. That's pretty specific, isn't it? I mean, this story is very specific. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Wow. You have never had a flood like this one. This right here is a special flood. The fountains of the deep are broken up. Water's coming out of the ground. We went on a trip when Billy was 17. He helped me pay for it. He was working while he was still going to college. He was working all the time, too. And we went out into California, and we followed this flowing river. I mean, just speed and a lot of water, not a little creek. Just a river. And we got up to where it started. It was a big hole in the mountain. Just a big hole in the mountain, right on the side of the road. And it's just gushing out, filling that hole. Every day. Every day, every night, every year, just keeps right on going. Just flow it out. How much water's down there? There's a whole lot. Let me tell you. And so when God breaks up the fountains of the great deep, that's going to bring a whole lot of water to the mixture. Not only the rain, heaven's breaking up, windows of heaven's opening, but the fountains of the great deep breaking up, he brought a lot of water on this earth. In fact, it says it was about 20 feet above the highest mountain. Now, that's what's written in here, just like a historical fact. You know what I think? I think it is a historical fact. Somebody had the story down right, and the story, there's about 150 different Noah stories in the world. Even American Indians had some stories of a man that went through a deep flood and lived and came out of it. And there are all sorts of them around the world, and if you look in archaeology and look at some of these guys that study some of these different civilizations, there's a whole lot. Now, they don't call him all the same name. But the story from Babylon, I think it's the same name. I think it's Noah. Might be something else. I read a lot, so I'm not sure that I got that right. But let me tell you what. The fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. No wonder you had a flood. You had the biggest flood the world has ever seen. And bigger than your imagination, and yet go anywhere on the face of the earth, and you'll find that land, even the mountains, was underwater. And you got proof of it. So why do you have a problem believing this? You know there are floods of various areas. We know, well, just up north. While we're going through our drought, the north is being flooded and wiped out. The northern states. Well, right here, here's a big flood. It covers everything. So if God can put a big flood that would cover a continent, he could put a big flood that could cover the whole earth. Now, how he did it, I don't know. He's a lot smarter than I am. And I'm understanding that better the older I get. He is a lot smarter than I am. And with His intelligence, I wouldn't stand a chance. And bless your heart, I'm smarter than some of you idiots, and so you wouldn't stand a chance either, would you? You know, these smart aleck kids and smart aleck drunks and whatever, you know. And they think they're so smart.
Yeah.
And they want to tell God off. And, oh, he's just a big dummy, is the way they look at it. Man, every time I think about all the things that are going on right here that we didn't know about when I was a kid. I didn't know there were television pictures in here. All you got to have is a receiver. We can get television right in here. Well, right now, they're programming this thing to go around the world. I don't know how many people I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching around the world. Anybody that wants to cut in, wow. How do you get stuff like that? What else does God have that we haven't discovered? I mean, He's so big and so smart. What else is out there that we don't know? What thing that would cure diseases? What thing that would help some other thing? What thing that would be the next oil? God's got a very big, complex creation. And so He knows what He's doing. Why don't you trust God, what He says He's doing? Okay. The Lord, God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth. I'm in verse 17 now. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon all of the earth. All the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered 15 cubits upward. That's 18 inches. 15 times 18 inches upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died. It's called judgment. Your Bible's full of judgment. You know, a lot of people really don't like the Bible because of the judgments in it. Well, how many of us want to be judged? Do you want to have to go down and appear before a human judge in Bexar County? No, they might put you in jail. They might put a fine on you to take away your car. They got a lot of power. And, man, you don't know what to do. Are innocent people in jail? Sure there are. Are innocent people thought to be rapists and murderers? Sure they are. We don't do everything right. So I'm a little fearful of any judge. Well, how about the judge of all the earth? How about this judge? This judge that can destroy everyone but 8 people. Well, I tell you, you ought to fear him. Bible says it, and I'm going to say it over and over again about Hebrews 11. Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. Became heir of righteousness. Well, the whole mountains were covered. All flesh died. Everything. Only, and Noah only, remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. I got so tired in 7 days of a flood. You ever been in one, something like that? I got really tired of that flood and the water and the rain coming down. And I love rain. I just literally love rain. But it was too much, you know? It interrupted a whole lot of things that we wanted to do. We couldn't visit our kids. Our kids couldn't visit us. We couldn't go out anywhere. Because we were just locked in. Now, what about this? 150 days? Well, when you add them all up, and I'm trusting somebody else's addition, it's a little over a year that they lived in that ark before they moved out of it and went down. And they might have used it for different things for a while, but I would say it's something very, very, very interesting. Now, in chapter 8, verse 2, in verse 1 he talks about God made a wind to pass over the earth. And you know, that wind will take up moisture, pick up moisture. And also of the deep, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. Okay. He's told you, I broke up the earth. I broke up the fountains of the earth to get that flood. I opened up the windows of heaven to get that flood. And I let it rain to get that flood, now that I'm stopping it. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know how anybody has a problem with that. It's just a very clear explanation. And I do know there's an awful lot of water under the ground. For 20 years, I've been drinking out of my own well. It's got sulfur and rust. Some people don't like it. That's why I keep bottled water. So if anybody doesn't like my well water, but I drink the well water. I'm not dead yet. No telling what'll happen tomorrow, but...
You're a little rusty.
Yeah, I'm a little rusty. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. Look how specific. The seventh month on the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. Now, I haven't seen it in a long time, and I was teaching school. I was teaching English, and they had these little things we'd get every week or every month or whatever that would be little stories and whatever. I remember one time I was a refueling man in the service, so I refueled a lot of gorgeous planes. And I was in Alaska in February of 56, and we had the X-15 there. I don't think it was known as the X-15 then. That's what they named it later. But it was about 30 feet long with 7-foot wings. Just a rocket. Flown by a full bird colonel. And they would play over Russia. You know, up in Alaska, you're real close to Russia. Well, they would go and take that thing and fly it out over there and then come back. I don't know what they were doing. But sometimes he would take that thing up and then he would go off a little bit and then he'd scream right down the runway. Low. 10-12 years later, I'm teaching English right here in San Antonio, Page Middle School, and here's the Air Force's new plane, the X-15. Speeds in excess of what? They're just now announcing this to you. I was up there on the flight line with that thing 10 years before. They had it all right. I don't know what they've got now that you and I don't know anything about. But anyway, pretty interesting. Now, I had another one that came during that time. It was aerial pictures taken from an airplane of the Ark on Mount Ararat. Looked pretty neat, looked real. You can see there's a huge boat in the snow. And most of the time, that's just got a glacier covered over. But it had melted down, and some of these pilots, I think out of Russia, were taking pictures. And they took pictures of that and showed it. Now, it's covered back up, and they will not even let anybody go in there, the people that are running the country that are around this Ararat. But I believe it's over there. And I believe when the ice melts, we're going to see it one of these days. That big old barge has been preserved by ice all these years. Well, mountains of Ararat. Now look down at verse 16, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 16. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark. He told him when to go in. He told him when to go out. He shut him in and protected him the whole time the judgment was falling. Judgment's over. And he tells him, go forth. And he wants them to breed abundantly. And then down in verse 20, Noah built an altar. See, Noah was a religious man. Noah was a righteous man. That doesn't mean he was perfect, but it means he loved the Lord, he served the Lord, he moved with fear before the Lord. And he builds an altar. Now, what's an altar for? Worship. Altars for worship. We used to call this an altar up here for people to go pray and talk to the Lord and whatever. We don't do that much all the time now, but it's been in Christianity for a long time. What about altars? Well, an altar is a place you make a sacrifice. An altar is a place you go to try to meet God. And Noah had the good sense. When he got out of that ark, he said, "I'm thankful, Lord." And he built an altar. And when he did, he worshiped the Lord. And he offered some of those clean beasts. He offered them up unto the Lord. Now, I've already mentioned that the ark is like Christ. And I want to go back to the verse in Hebrews, which I think is so significant about Noah. Chapter 11, verse 7. Chapter 11, verse 7. Now, what he's done, you can do. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, there's faith. Why did he build an altar? Faith. Trust the Lord, worship the Lord, get the favor of God. Warned of things not seen. Well, isn't that what you have in Christ? You're being warned of a hell. You've never seen hell. You may think, and I've heard an awful lot of people speak about it, this life is hell. Well, maybe if you were going through the pain that some people are going through right now, and Verlene went through for about 3 years, you just might consider it hell. But it isn't hell. It's not even close. But just understanding pain ought to make you think maybe you should move with fear. Maybe you should try to please God. Find out what God has to say. Why don't you read His book and see what He has to say? You might actually learn something. You might learn that somebody taught you wrong a long time ago. I don't care how sweet they were and how sincere they were wrong if they're different from this book. He moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Why don't you move with fear and get into the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save your soul from the destruction that's coming? There's another destruction coming. Now, again, in the book of Luke, chapter 20, chapter 17, verse 26, Luke 17, 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah..." Jesus treats Noah as a historical incident. He brings no doubt upon it. He says, "As it was in the days of Noah." That means it was historical. Jesus believed it. He accepted it. And what did he say about them? They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. There's your judgment again. And there's where it takes faith. It takes faith for you to believe the Word. It takes faith for you to believe in the judgment of God. It takes faith for you to believe in God. Now, to me, the whole world proves there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Just the intricacy of your human body or your eye. Did you see that ad on TV here lately where the human eye can see a candle 10 miles down there or whatever? It's amazing. There are a lot of things amazing about us. We were made by God, and it's tremendous. We don't know what all is it about. But he moved with fear and saved his house. Well, some people say, well, they don't like fear. Well, I guess nobody likes fear, but fear is a very valuable thing. If you don't fear rattlesnakes or cobras or bobcats or drunk skunks or drivers, you're not very smart. You ought to have a little fear. And when it comes to God, good night, man. You ought to have fear. You ought to have fear. Why? Because God is so powerful, so strong. It's a historical event. I'll go to one more. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And that's generally what scoffers are doing. Say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They don't believe in the flood. Everything's continuing just as it was from creation. And no. Look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment of and a perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years. A thousand years is one day. Your timekeeping and His timekeeping are different. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why everything keeps on going like it's going. That's why the judgment hasn't hit just yet. There's another soul out there. There's another million souls. I don't know how many million preachers are preaching an invitation today, telling them that God loves you and God will save you and God will forgive you. He said they are willingly ignorant. And that is the truth about many of them. Some of them are so ignorant simply because they just have never heard. But let me tell you something. An awful lot of people are willingly ignorant. They will themselves to be ignorant of what God's Word has to say. That's being a very foolish person. Well, the flood is a historical act. It's a fact. And Jesus treated it as such. And if you believe in the Lord, then you ought to believe in the flood. God bless you.